One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
This is 4Network.
Credo is the daft of the Football Daft podcast.
Is that a good story? Is that a good story?
I've got an encyclopedia brain.
He's got a day man nothing.
Fuck's sake. What are you, a fucking hooligan?
This is Football Daft.
You're a Rangers man.
I'm
a Hearts man.
With Ewan Cameron.
I work for Showtime and ESPN.
And
hey, that's happened to Stevenson.
Ewan Cameron is unavailable for selection, so they brought in a guest host. I know who it is. Do you know who it is?
I'll tell you who it is. It's the sun-tanned Superman, none other than the best Scottish presenter on Fitba, the full lot. It's yourself, David Tanner. And I must admit, I'm buzzing to have you sitting next to me. And you're sitting next to me this time. Usually we're kind of me and you and sit across from one another. But this is good. This is quite intimate, sitting next to you, David. I can touch you. I can feel that lovely. I mean, I must always admit as well, David, you're always looking immaculate.
Thank you very much, Pet. But anyway, listen, thank you for having me in. Thanks to everyone as well who gave me such a great response when I came in a couple of months ago to do Where Are You? In fact, somebody messaged me today on my Facebook page saying that they'd listened to it and enjoyed it.
Now,
when you do what I've done over the last 25 years,
aye,
you're not used to people saying, oh, that was really good. They're usually abusing you for some reason.
Did you get abuse?
I was never on social media until the last couple of years. I was aware of it. So what happens is you go on and you say, good evening, welcome to a football programme. It involves, for example, Arbroath. And people are writing and complaining, say, I am from Forfar. He smiles when he said Arbroath. He's an Arbroath fan. You know, and it probably happens a bit more with two Glasgow clubs I could mention.
I wonder where they would be. Would that be Partick
and Clyde? I know, the Queen's Park fans. They're the worst of the lot. So it was really, really nice. So everyone was on Twitter saying to me, this is great.
But hold on to cut you off, David.
Thank you for that.
David, did you have social media before you left Sky?
No.
So did you
Instagram actually?
But did you leave Sky and go, right, I need to get in about this social media shit?
I wanted to go on Twitter before actually, and they said, oh, don't do that, because it's you know, there's more to be lost than to be gained, which I regret now actually.
If somebody's gained you shite, you press mute.
Yeah,
because you don't get the satisfaction
blocking.
Either getting them blocking. If they're blocked, they get a hard on because you blocked them. And they'll screen grab it and they'll send it for WhatsApp going, fuck it, I'll be blocked after big man tidy. You mute them and you never hear about them again.
I have been doing broadcasting for over 30 years now. Started at Radio Clyde when I was a kid. And in all those years, nobody beside me has said hard on. This is the first.
Did you?
Maybe a semi. That's been mentioned a few times before.
Talking about your Radio Clyde, is it true that you just bailed them up and went, I want a job when you were 16-year-old?
Yeah, it was. And I was listening to the Doogie Donnelly mid-morning show. And Doogie Donnelly, do you know what Doogie Donnelly's audience
Super Noodle Head.
Was? He's the governor, though.
Is it? Do you look up to him so much?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Jim White, Doogie Donnelly, absolute governance.
Jim White, I know. How do you feel about Jim White? I feel as if these days, he again is becoming one of these people. Now, I know he might be your mate, but I feel as if he's coming across as one of these type of Katie Hopkins type characters, one of these Sutton. You know the way they try to sensationalize.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
He's
a great journalist. He's a great working journalist. And get his foot in any door.
You know what? The only Jim White story I have is that I claimed Ben Nevis with his ex-wife, right? Now, what the deal was, we were filming something called Scotland in a Day, and it was meant to portray September the 14th, 2014, the day that when Scotland were going to vote yes or no. And my character played a guy that decided, right, I'm that Scottish, I'm going to claim Ben Nevis, right? Now, when I agreed to do it with the director, they said, oh, don't worry about it, you don't actually need to claim Ben Nevis. you know, we're just going to get you a couple of shots. We'll get you the boat in the mountain or the rest of it.
Already, I fear you were being lied to.
Was I lied to, mate? I turned up that day dressed like this with my trainers on. Turned up. Jim White's missus or ex-missus was the director. She's all wearing the boots, wearing all the care on. She's got packed lunches, she's got torches, she's got the full rig out.
Kendall mint cake.
Aye, oh, that's care on. I'm going, what's the deal here? She says, oh, no, we're going to the tap. I says, oh, where the fuck? She says, no, we're going to the tap. I goes, well, what? I've got my trainers on. So she takes me to the nearest place where you can get all that tent shite, and they bought me 90 bar boots. That kept, you know, that probably came out my wage. And I actually had to climb Ben Nevis. I left at 11 o'clock in the morning, climbed up to the very top, burst, climbed down. By the time I got back down to the grun, it was 11 at night and I was in tears.
I'm worried about the chafing.
Oh, there's plenty of chafing going about doing about with me. That's why I carry plenty of coconut oil, David. I'm a coconut oil guy. Is there anything that you carry with you? Have you always got essentials? Is it because I say, David, you always look immaculate, big man. There's never a hair out of place. You look as if you've just walked right out of Next. You're looking great.
No, not really. I always like to carry lip salve, and I've not got any today. Right. And I've got the cold, as I mentioned, which I managed to pick up in Dubai.
How was the flight?
On the flight in the home. Flight's good, yeah. I enjoyed it. 6 hours sitting in a seat. Can't beat it.
With the missus?
No, they flew back the day before. So travelling on your own is the best way. You have to talk to anyone.
So name out Mile High. Where?
Actually, I actually did join the Mile High Club.
Who were
you? Oh, no, I was on my own. Does that count?
So there we go. We've got the first headline. David Tanner rips a nut off it on long-haul flights. That's an exclusive to Football Daft. That'll be in the paper tomorrow again.
If only I had the energy for that.
Grado's rant.
Time for a rant, dear boy.
Rant this week about the Three Network. I went down last week at the worst possible time. I was having a meeting in Paisley. The Three Network goes down, right? So then I can't tell people that I'm going to be late for my meeting because I didn't know where I was going because the maps were down, so the data was down. Eventually got to my meeting, done my meeting. Left the meeting, right? Somebody's peeping me. Beep, 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 beep. I go, what the fuck with this? What is this? What's you, man? You've got a flat tyre. So, fair enough. So I pulled in. Big guy was brand new. I did have a flat tyre. Now, I'm hopeless at changing tyres and stuff like this. Big guy, Wally. Shout out to Big Wally for Renfrew. He get right in his phone. He obviously didn't have Three Network. He goes, big man. He phoned somebody. He says, big man, have you got a JT30546 for a Jaguar tyre? Aye, nae bother. So I followed them slowly around to this garage. I got myself a tyre fitted, although I had to wait a couple of hours till the tyre get sent in. So the big man gave me a run fae the tyre place into Paisley Gilmer Street because I was going to go home to kill a couple of hours, got the lift back into Paisley. Then I realised my fucking huskies were on the corkies. So then I had to find my...
Is that the Three Network's fault?
Three Network's fault because then I couldn't find my way back to the garage. Mm-hmm. Eventually I found my way back to the garage, walked half a mile. He says, right, it's still going to be a couple of hours for the tyre. I says, right, I'll find myself a vaping shop. So I walked myself back into Piazza Centre. The Piazza Centre vape shop was shut down.
Is that Three Network's fault?
This is Three Network's fault. Oh. I then said to the Piazza Centre, said the shop has moved. The shop has moved to this postcode. I got a wee bit of Wi-Fi in a Piazza Centre. So I said, right, it's a 1.5 miles down the road. So I started following this map. Mate, I ended up wanting 1.5 miles and I got to a block of flats where apparently this new vape shop was. Somebody stopped me and says, mate, what are you doing here? He says, you're in the ghetto. I says, I'm looking for the vape shop. He says, no. It's a mile back down that way. So then I walked another mile back down into Paisley Centre to find this vape shop. It turns out that the vape shop had moved, but it had moved from about here to about the end of this road. So I walked a mile that way in the wrong direction to a block of flats, came back down, realised that the vape shop was just running about the corner, basically I walked about 4 miles on the wrong way because I'm fucking free because you can't get the finger out of their ears. How can a network in this day and age go down, Tanner? How can this happen? I don't get it.
Don't ask me, I can hardly switch my phone on. But how good did your arse look after a 4 mile walk?
Well, I must have dropped a couple of pun, but I must admit I walked into a newsagent's and found that they were selling Willy Wonka chocolate. Actually, Willy Wonka. So I bought myself a Willy Wonka chocolate and also The shop was selling orange twirls. I didn't know they existed.
Oh, wow.
So I got myself an orange twirl, and I got myself a Willy Wonka chocolate, and I got myself to the vape shop. And because I'm new into the vaping, as you see, I kind of put this vape down. I've got two vapes now. They're calling me Jake the Vape. But just let you know, that caused a lot of bother that day, Free Network. I went and bust because also I missed a payment on my credit card because I couldn't sign in because there was no data. So now I've got a black mark against my name for no paying my credit card off because of you, Free Network. I'm going to struggle to get a mortgage. Fuck the lotties.
And with that, it's back to you in the studio. So we must talk on Football Daft about the weekend's games. What about Celtic? Celtic 6, Ross County 0. Wow!
You know, Celtic had 21 attempts in goal in the first half and only scored one goal. They're not that good.
Slightly biased. Hamilton Accies 1, Hibs 1. What can you say about Hamilton unable to beat Hibernian?
That's an all right result for Hamilton. I see them going down this year, unfortunately. So one each draw with Hibs. If I'm a Hamilton fan, I'm happy. You know what I mean? Well done to Cunningham for salvaging a point. And unfortunately for Hibs, it's 2 points dropped.
Now, Kilmarnock moved to within 2 points of third place by beating Livingston 2-1. I mean, everyone thought, Kelly, disaster area this season. Wow, he's turned it around.
It just shows you, give the guy a bit of time. Gary Dicker and Rory McKenzie scoring for Kelly. So it's looking up. I don't see them challenging as much as what they did last year, but it's a good result at home.
Now, our guest this week, Willow Flood, played for Aberdeen. 3-0 at Motherwell. Listen, great result. Aberdeen's first win in three and all the rest of it. But what about the goals in that game?
I didn't Cosgrove's see them. Chip. I was in Germany. I missed the goals.
Picks up the ball, edge of the box, a wee chip, and boom, over Mark Gillespie. It was sensational.
Do you think Cosgrove is going to stay at Aberdeen for long?
I think that Crystal Palace will bid £20 million for him in January. Getting mixed up?
Fingers crossed, that's the plan.
Now, Hearts 1, Glasgow Rangers 1. Can I put it to you that Rangers pooped the bed and the title challenge is over?
Are you officially now saying that Rangers' title challenge is over?
No, I just asked the question. Saying that? I never say anything.
That's what you're hinting at.
Questions.
But these are the games, David, that we need to win. I'm just gutted because the last time this happened, you know, we felt good when we beat Celtic at the new year and we stopped for the winter break and we came back and there was that dreadful game at Rugby Park. Shot to bed. Rangers didn't deserve. I don't even know if they deserved the point. Well, it was just a shite game. Both teams cancelled each other out, in my opinion. Very frustrating as a Rangers fan. But as I say, the guy that you're hitting at the last there, Morelos, if it wasn't for him, man, if he didn't equalise at that point in that game, it could have been a totally different story. So thank fuck for Morelos.
Beautifully put. Finally, St Mirren got their first goals in four games, beating St Johnson, still without a win this season. St Mirren to St Johnson nil. Your take on events in Paisley?
Fuck Paisley.
Oh, come on, get over it. Your phone network went down in Paisley in the ghetto. I love the fact that I said to you, what are you doing here? You're at risk. A big hairy wrestler, honestly. And he's from Ayrshire.
I'm not
right.
Hairy. I'm not hairy. Oh. Avit.
Too much info. Now, thanks for your tweets. Jamie Patterson says, Rangers were poor in the Ewan Cameron derby. Ewan's not here, and he's still getting it tight.
Yes.
Jimbo, what went wrong with Rangers at Tynecastle? Well, it's the same as every team. They raise their game when they play us. We'll be back at the same old this weekend. James Gillespie, good bounce back from Celtic after the Livy game. And I know it's just one game, but Frimpong looks like he could be an absolute star.
That was a good player. Yeah, that was a good player.
Decent. Jake Sturgis, Tommy Wright needs to go. Every interview now, he sounds like a defeated man and has, in Jake's view, run out of ideas. I'm not having that. He's done so much for St Johnson.
He's done well, but he misses Fozzie.
Next one, your old dad Colin, Dundee and McPake are tactically inept. Tell me this, your old dad Colin, where did you do your coaching badges? Anyway, he has three strikers but consistently plays one up and plays the other two, Johnson and Nelson, in the reserves. And? Anyway, so substitutions have been questioned. One up with five to go against Partick, midfielder off, winger on, and we finished the game 3-1 down. Maybe it's because they're better. Anyway, so I was just answering that one myself. I get annoyed when people start. Stu,
it's good to see you like this, Tanner.
Oh, I know.
I like it. We don't get to see this side when you're on the telly. It's good to see you free reign. It's good to see you getting stuff off your chest. Get fired in.
It's
going on,
like
son.
Someone is
keep
leading
going.
Me astray. I can't think
keep
who.
Going, man. It's
finally, Stu Bro, tough game for the Bairns this week. Why is a Falkirk ones in? I mean, they're in what league are they in? Are they in like Division 3 now?
You know why a Falkirk one is? Because producer John here
right.
is a Falkirk fan, so he's
that's
going. So he gives
right.
me shit for always talking about Rangers, but he's always getting Falkirk stuff in. Correct.
Thanks for your tweets. Remember to tweet us. And remember, if you want to tweet me,
aye.
Can you remember my Twitter handle?
Yes, it's at David Tanner TV. And if he's mentioned once, he's mentioned 100 times that he needs me to follow. So someday, gonna do me a favour, people that follow me on Twitter, gonna follow David Tanner because he's just gonna give me it tight for not getting as many followers. This will boost your credibility, mate. See this, you're acting like a villain, I love it. See the way you're ripping papers up and all that. This will be good for your character, mate.
Yeah.
It's what you call in wrestling a heel turn. It is a heel turn. It's perfect. It's refreshing. David, you're reinventing yourself, you motherfucker.
Next week, I'll be ripping up phone books on the Football Daft podcast. Who are you indeed? And I'm delighted to say, for this segment, I'm joined by my old friend Nicholas McDonald.
Yes.
Nicholas, of course, a runner-up in X Factor. Is it really 6 years?
Yeah, it is. Do you know what? It only felt like a few weeks ago I'd done it. Well, not a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, you know what I mean? Same thing, but yeah, six years ago, it's mad to think. I still look the same, the only difference I put on about 6 stone, but that's the only difference. Discovered beer in Chinese, but that's great.
Oh, tremendous. How old were you?
When I done the show, I was 16 on the show, but when I was actually
about in real life, you must have been about 35, surely. Everyone lies about their age in your game.
Aye, no. I'm the real deal. And then I actually turned 17 on the show, actually during one of the live shows. So 17 when I done it, aye, and turning 23 next month. So I'm getting old, do you know what I mean? Nearly that 30. It's, when you get to 30, it's like the peak and then it just goes vroom. That's it, downhill for there. But and married life as well, so.
I will let you know when it happens to me. So. Now listen, congratulations are in order.
Yes, for the big wedding, been married a month now, so doesn't feel any different.
Is it working?
For now, it's lasting. 3 weeks, aye, so it's lasting.
She's a keeper.
Aye, definitely. Well, she's from Florida, so she's different from the people of Glasgow, you know.
Yeah, just a wee bit. Now, you are the best thing to come out of Wishaw since...
John Higgins.
Oh, good answer. Good answer. What is it like for a boy from Wishaw to marry a Floridian? I mean, do you require a translator?
Well, originally we did. We definitely did. It was, she just basically, when I spoke to her, she just kind of looked at her like a spat on her face. She was just like shocked and she's confused and she just used to nod and say, like I could say something like, I'm going to shoot you with a gun, and she'd just look dead taff and smile and nod.
I think that's a Blantyre thing.
I was thinking Hamilton, wishy. But anyway.
sorry, but, Hamilton.
Aye, sorry. But she originally couldn't understand the word. Now I've got her saying Scottish words, so it's great.
Have you ever been felt up by a big, sweaty wrestler from Stevenson?
No, I've never.
Right, good.
But I'm ready for it.
Right, are you ready? Shall we bring him in?
I wasn't like jumping out of my bed excited this morning, but since it's a man and it's his cell, then we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Oh, let's get Grado in then, John. So, as if by magic, Grado is here and he's sitting next to our mystery guest on Who Are You? Grado, you need to ask some questions of our guest to try and work out who she is. And you're also allowed to touch him.
Right.
To try and work it out. So over to you then.
Right. Right, I'll have a few. What was that?
No.
It's not a woman. You got a big G-coat on. You got a big G-coat on me. Is it called it there? What the fuck?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
So I've just been that bit. What is that? Was that what? Right. So he's a prick for a start. Although, hold on to see. I don't know if I should be calling this guy a prick. Through the horns.
Now, there's a wee clue there, and on one of the fingers, there's a wee clue.
Married.
Yes. Yes.
Who do I know that's married?
That doesn't narrow it down necessarily.
Right,
but who quite, did I know quite recently.
Right. Married quite recently. Right, you got a bonnet on.
What do you think of the beard?
You got a beard, right? I disliked my finger! Oh. I would have not liked that finger, mate. You going to end up with worms tomorrow? No, I'm kidding on.
We'll get you a tetanus.
Right, hold on. Are you a football player?
No.
What? Are you Scottish?
Aye.
What kind of accent's that? Is that a Glasgow accent?
Close.
He's from near Glasgow.
Right, you're from near Glasgow, right? Your line of work, so you don't play FIBA.
It's not Ayrshire.
It's no Ayrshire.
It's not Dunbartonshire.
You wear jackets. Are you a celebrity?
No.
He certainly is.
He is a celebrity, right?
He's been seen by literally tens of millions on TV.
So are you on American telly?
No.
Are you on a soap?
No.
Are you in the theatre?
No.
We're talking national television.
National television.
None of your Scottish nonsense.
Right, so you're on the telly down south and all?
Yep.
Right. Are you an actor?
No.
Are you a comic?
No.
What are the highest rated shows on TV?
X Factor? You in Fame Academy?
X Factor.
You were on the X Factor? Right. Fuck, you're not a McDonald brother, are you?
Nah.
By the way, shout out to the McDonald brothers. I was on the same flight as the McDonald brothers a couple of weeks ago. Shout out to them.
That is like an Ayrshire celebrity. This fella here is from Wishy.
Hold on. Did you win the X Factor in 2007?
Nah. It's no Leon Jackson either.
It's no Nicholas, is it? Nicky, fucking, you're too big to be him. You're too big to be Nicky McDonald, aren't you?
It's yourself.
Well done.
I go there. It took 25 minutes.
Nicholas has just turned 40. It took so long.
Fucking hell, man. Hey, I'm actually quite proud.
That's hilarious.
I can't believe I got you, man. God, that was a good one, wasn't it?
That was a good one.
I managed to get it, and I was on a flight with the McDonald brothers. Do you ken them?
Nah.
Do you know who they
were? Nothing related to me, no.
And you're married? Where did you get married?
Here.
Aye, just for invite. But listen, hold on a minute. I want to sing with you, man.
Moan then. What's your song, Walking in the Ring?
Right, like a prayer, but that's not a good.
No.
Right, but hold on. The song that I always sing when I'm in karaoke, so all my pals always love me when I sing it. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Ain't no darkness everywhere. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
It's a bit, I know. That goes on forever. We'll be here the next week.
Wait, what is your favourite song to sing?
I don't know.
It can be miracle. that's when you believe.
No,
that actually. No. Did I tell that story, John, on the podcast before? No. When I went for an audition a couple of months ago. Have I never told Jesus?
For what?
I went for an audition for this.
It's my first week.
I know. It was for the National Theatre fucking thing in London. All my actor pals were like, hey man, this is heavy duty, this audition. It's like, no messing about there.
Did you ever hear Sir Larry Olivier sing the National fucking Theatre thing?
No, never.
See, that's the way.
Sir Alec Guinness.
That's the way I'm on. I just gunned with myself, right? And so I had to go in and read a couple of scripts, and it was all like, oh, can all this, can I, all that.
Dramatic.
Oh, the boat is sinking, please save me, right? But I had to read the script. Then they went and said, look, then they said, can you sing a song for us? We need to, you need to deliver a piece. I went, right, okay, give me 2 minutes. And I went, fuck it, I'll sing Leon Jackson's The Winner song. So I'm like, stunning with my phone, right? Stunning with my
Pulls
phone.
Up the karaoke version on YouTube.
I did, I went like that. I stood in front of all these, like, you know, hoity-toity, hello, Graham, just stand over there and just, you know, have a bash. Don't be scared, Graham. You
relax, Graham, relax.
Graham, relax, Graham. And I went like, there can be miracles when you believe.
They have a big red buzz in front of them, they can go, bro.
Well, then you get to that point, it was basically... Right, Graham, that's enough.
Thank you for coming. We'll be in touch. Get the part.
Never fucking heard nothing.
Nah, I wouldn't have phoned you back either.
No, I bet you wouldn't have. you got any singles coming out?
No, this year. Next year.
Right,
so
cool. Big album.
Doing that. Aye, big album. Big number one.
So listen, big mystery. What team do you support?
Well, that's a funny one. Because when I was younger, I actually had a season ticket for both Celtic and Rangers.
Oh, my God.
Do you see, I really like that. I
honestly.
I'm a bit of a weirdo. Yeah, I like the guys who played for Celtic and Rangers. But a guy who's had a season booked for both.
But the thing is, a lot of people ask me, because when I was on the show, there was a picture of me wearing the Rangers top that get put in the newspaper. And then me and Lisa Commons were the first to sit in every seat at Parkhead for Marie Curie. And we raised £30,000 for that. So.
And did you play football when you were younger?
I did. I loved playing it. And then actually when I took my cardiac arrest playing 10.
Hold on, what? Oh, was this part of your thing with... Was
that not winning my sob
was
story?
It you?
No, when because was there was no. No, there was no sob story on X Factor.
Seriously, you never had one?
No.
No deed or anything like that? No,
that's why I'm here today, no. So what happened on the show?
Well done, mate, that's
they found out about it, and I wanted to get through my own merit, my own pride. Aye. And no folk going, oh, my auntie died last year and he's the biggest fan, about to phone up and vote for him. No, I wanted to get through and actually say, do you know what, he's a decent singer. Do you know what I mean? And that was chat. And then when I come off the show, that's when it came out saying that I've got this life illness and all that.
What did happen? How did you go?
So I was playing football with my Wishy Wickham, my football team.
Right.
Playing up in East Kilbride, and I went to kick off a game and I fell. And I fell to the ground. My mum and dad thought that somebody shot me out the trees because I just went down like a sag of tatties.
Really?
Yeah. And come up and they're trying to bring me back to life. And they,
you're joking.
Long story short, 10. Cardiac arrest.
Has he died?
Died. I was out.
Did you die in a
cold? Aye.
Don't remember what happened. Can you remember?
Don't remember a hang. Never seen the Golden Gates.
But that's, do you know what? I cannot believe that was never...
But then I get diagnosed with a heart condition called long QT syndrome, which was in my genes, but I never knew that until I take the cardiac arrest and I take a tablet every... Because basically my heart beats too fast.
Propanol?
No, it's irregular. And what's that word?
Irregular heartbeat?
That's it. Right. But it, like, mine's going really fast. So my tablets...
Especially when you're sitting next to the graduate.
Aye. So, because I'm getting... It's nice and hot in here. I'm getting all steamy.
His buttocks...
Aye, even when I get to tell you were filling me up, I had to take double the tablets this morning.
When you're 16, though.
Yeah.
Appearing on a stage.
Yeah.
Live on ITV. That X Factor's audience, what, 10 million?
Aye, it's more than that, aye. It's close to that.
Aye, come down.
With a live audience, Simon Cowell sitting there with a machine gun.
Aye.
And who was on the panel then?
Louis, Gary Barlow, Sean Osborne, and Nicole Scherzinger. Oof, that's her. What about a cat, man? What about a cat?
Nicole Scherzinger, she's nice. Back on
she's nicer in real life than she is in the telly.
And how was it your group that, did you go with her? Was that her?
No, Louis Walsh is my mentor.
Now, this is where I always felt sorry for cunts that were on the X Factor, right? You know, what happened is, you know, right, if you go with Simon, you go to his house in LA, you go
Louis
to Nicole,
Walsh sends you to Dublin.
Dublin, no, I mean, I think you'd be devastated.
I nearly shot myself in the face. Got to Gatwick Airport and it's a big reveal, the golden envelope, and
where
all
you
these
gone?
Folk had gone to Los Angeles and gone here and gone there. I packed the way I packed the day, jacket, jumpers, freezing outside, hat on. I get to Gatwick Airport, I'm like, oh, here we go, open up this big gold envelope, open up the envelope. Here, we went to Saint-Tropez in France.
Ah, now you're talking, all right. Thanks, Pritchard, for me.
Eight snails and everything, class. Aye. Brilliant, aye. But it wasn't his sister, he rented it out, don't forget it.
Do you still keep in contact with all these?
Aye, people for the show, aye, but none of the judges, no.
Tell me this, who's the most famous person, when the judges line up something else, but who's the most famous person you've met since you became a superstar?
Apart from Grado.
Apart from Grado.
Back in 2013.
That's when it was, mate.
I don't know, I'd say I've met probably four really famous. Would be Celine Dion, cool. Michael Bublé, oof. Ed Sheeran, and Elton John.
Who was the biggest widow? Who was the biggest arsehole?
Arsehole? Gary Barlow.
Really?
He was a judge on it and he was an arsehole.
He's got the same birthday as me.
Really?
Unlucky.
Is it?
See the amount of people I meet, like women going, oh, I remember you were on the show. Gary Barlow's on it. I love him. Love take that. And I go, Robbie Williams is one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Really?
But Gary Barlow was, ignorant.
Really?
He was just an arse.
Follow yourself.
But see, when you were on stage with all that pressure, did they have to monitor your heart?
Happened is when I got to the judges' houses, I thought to myself, right, there's like 95 people auditioned here, 95,000. It got down to six boys and only three can go through the live shows. I was at the judges' house, he's saying to myself, if I don't get through here, I'm never doing it again. So I ended up going through, but this is a story I've never ever told. An exclusive for you, for the podcast.
I've got it.
So what happened was the producer, you notice like TV, the producers have a big say in what kind of happens, especially a TV show like The X Factor. And the producers didn't want to put me through because of the health risk in my heart. Because like anger, hurt, anxiety, sudden alarm, all this can set off my heart, basically. If I fart too loud, my heart can probably stop. It's never happened, but we'll try and see. We'll see what happens. But anyway, so the producers actually says to Louis, you cannot put Nicholas through just for the health and safety reasons.
Casey farts, Casey lets us.
Aye, basically. And then Louis turned around and says, Louis went against his will and against Damon and says, I'm really sorry, but I can't send him home.
That's
and
brilliant.
And Louis put me through. They sent me a cardiologist 2 days later and back in London, a specialist and all that. They checked my heart saying he has got it, nothing's happened since the cardiac arrest, and just keep an eye on him and he's fine, and they gave him the go ahead and I get through to the live shows. But I was already through, but they sent me to the cardiologist to make sure I was fine, and the producers were like to Louis, not can I put him through, and Louis like, I need to do it.
Brilliant.
So he believed in me, which is great.
That's good.
Because if it was any other judge, they'd just be like, alright, okay, we'll pick somebody else.
Did you not get to the live final?
Aye, the final, aye, in Wembley.
Runner up.
So you were the runner-up, aye. So how did that feel when you came second? Was you gutted or was you just glad to be there, basically?
No,
you're in a final,
I was saying earlier on, like, when I went on that show, I signed up for it, I never ever thought I'd even get an email back saying going for an audition. Do you know what I mean? I was 17. So when I done it, I never had any expectations, never had any goals. And when I got to the final, I was like, don't know what. When I even got to the live shows, first week of the live shows, I was like, this is way beyond what I expected. Just enjoy the rest of it. And it never even turned into a competition. It just felt like enjoyment. I was out of school. I was living in a big house in London. I was on the X Factor and I was 17. It was great. Life couldn't have been any better. Aye.
Nicholas, it's been great to see you. Thank you very much for being felt up.
Oh, I enjoyed it. It was great.
Thanks. Some folk would pay for that, David.
It's a niche market. But listen, I'm in. One last question before you go. Who's going to win the Scottish Premiership this season? There's a wee hand grenade from there, Grado.
Yeah. I'll play it safe.
Say Rangers or Celtic.
And I'll just say Motherwell, just purely because I love
Well, that. Motherwell, David, we've
they're
spoken
doing
about
all right.
It. They're doing all right.
They're doing
all
bad.
Have you never done a half-time draw, Motherwell?
No. Nah.
Did you do it at Parkade?
I don't know. I think I've done it at Ibrox.
Did you do it at Ibrox?
You.
And they knew you were a Celtic season ticket?
Oh,
they'll hear me.
Come on, you.
No, it's been great to have you on the show, innit? That was good, man. I liked that.
Right, you got it correct as well.
Who
see your eye patch, you want to sign that and I can take that home.
No, that's kept, mate. No, you can't get that. I'll give you a signed 40, but don't worry. Right, David, we've got a part of the show called Who Knows Wins, right? Who Knows Wins, it's the home of social betting and they're changing the culture of gambling. We've been doing it for the last couple of weeks and it's really quite good.
You know I listen
good.
Every week, by the way.
Ah, I know that you do. Do you actually?
I feel like you're insulting me.
Well, have you listened to the Who Knows Wins bit? It's very popular with the punters. My brother gets involved, people in my group chats and WhatsApp get involved. Basically, bookies have been taken out of the equation. You're baiting against your mates. That's basically the idea of it. You download the app on the App Store or Google Play. It's at www.whoknowswins.com. You set up a league, and that's what we're doing this weekend.
Right.
You put down an entry fee, say it's a fiver. You choose the matches that you want to get involved in. You involve all your mates and then you predict the outcome of the games. The person with the most correct predictions wins a pot of money. And it's getting bigger every week, David. Every week there's a bigger pot of money. And the closest guy with the closest correct predictions wins the money. So it is exciting and there's no bookies involved. So you can also join preset public leagues with larger pots of money. So you don't need to compete with your pals. If you find somebody down south has maybe got a league set up, you can join that as well and you can compete against them. So it's all over the UK. So get involved, as I say, on Apple or Google Play. Type in Who Knows Wins. This week, we've picked the six games across the Scottish League for your chance to win, and entry fees are £5. Whoa. So David Boy, it's just a £5. Fling your £5 in, and the games are Livingston Hearts, St Johnstone Hampton, Dundee United Dunfermline, Morton and Inverness Carlin in a championship.
Get on Morton.
Go on yourself, Morton. Rafe Rovers versus East Fife in League One. And we've got, from the Scottish Cup, Pennycook versus Stenny.
Pennycook.
Pennycook. So that is going to be involved in this week's WhoKnowsWins.com competition. Honestly, if you've no heard it, get on it. It's only a £5 if you want to play it. And at the end of the weekend, there's your drinking money sorted. Although we can't be promoting gambling or... No, we are promoting gambling, I suppose. But we can't promote drinking and gambling. Would that be probably unethical? Who knows? Either way, get
what
your ass
about drinking, on. Gambling and masturbating?
Masturbating is fine, just not in planes.
Good Lord, look who's here. It's our footballing guest of the day. A player who is widely, widely respected, much loved by teams right across the country. He's played for Aberdeen, League Cup winner. Dundee United about 45 times.
Yep.
And of course Celtic. It is the one and only Willow Flood. Willow, good to see you, pal.
Good to see us.
Listen, tell me this. What? This guy is a hard, hard player.
I know.
Are you surprised that he's not taller?
Everyone says
you're,
that.
You're very manager.
Yeah, I know.
But do you know what? You look like a Willow. Yeah. There's no many people called Willow. Is Willow short for something?
William.
Is that
yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
No, but so what happened to Wally or Billy or
Liam?
I think because my dad's name was William and they called him Willie.
Right.
So they just called me Willow.
But Willow.
Were you named after Willow the Wisp?
No. Everyone says that as well.
That's disappointing. That is disappointing.
Do you know any other Willows?
Mark Wilson. They call him Willow, yes, but he's not a real Willow.
Yeah, of course, of course.
When I found out we're interviewing Willow, the first thing that came to my mind was, I want to know about the time Man City,
were
struggling in a game. Stuart Pearce is a manager. They've got a £5 million strike on the bench and they fling an outfield tap to David James and he comes on as a sub. Were you part of Man City that time?
Yeah, well, I was actually 19th man, so I just sat on the bench that day and I remember there was a kit man at the time, Les Chapman. Had David James an outfield jersey and I said to him, what the fuck are you doing with that? And he goes, oh, the gaffer told me I need to bring it onto the bench. He said, what? So it was us at Middlesbrough to qualify for Europe at the time. And it was like 15 minutes ago and he says to big Nicky Weaver, get one big man. And he goes, oh, is James struggling? He's like, no. So then fucking 5 minutes later, he brings Nicky on and gave the big man his jersey for going up top. He was like a fish out of water.
Aye.
And to be fair,
had
John
Macken before in training.
And as soon as he brought him on, big John Macken was sitting beside me and goes, fuck me, that's me out here.
I'm not surprised.
But to be fair,
I thought you were going to say he put you in goal.
And now that's all Percy was short of doing at the time. He was trying everything.
How was he as a manager?
He was actually quite quiet, you know.
Really?
No.
Yeah, like, what are you expecting him?
Did he not play? I had a series at Forest. He used to put all the kind of all that dreadful punk music. He used to
He's
play
mad into all that punk music, yeah, the rock and stuff.
Did he do that when he was a manager as well?
No, he just used to let the lads deal with the music and stuff.
Right, okay.
But as a manager, he was quite thoughtful, but he wasn't really one that would go out and start battering lads. Like, he surprised me that he never done that at the time.
Would you fancy a square go with him?
No, that's for sure. Do you know what? He was good to the kids at the time and stuff. He obviously patched me off. I said, he said, fuck him.
we're with Willow on that one.
100%, mate.
Listen, tell us about the big names at Man City when you were coming through there, because, I mean, the managers alone were all really famous names. So, what are your memories?
When I first went over, it was Joe Royle at the time. And I think we'd got promoted to the Premier League, and then his first signing was like George Weah or something like that. I remember George Weah had his own boots at the time. They were just called Weah, black boots. All the lads thought they were the bollocks, obviously, at the time.
And then that, President Weah,
to be
course,
fair, there was a drinking culture a bit at the club at that time, and I always remember that kind of came over then as soon as Kevin Keegan came in, and he got rid of everyone that was in the drinking culture and brought in proper quality players. And like his first or second signing was like an Elka or something like that. Ali Benabia, we had.
How does a manager like Keegan put a stop to drinking culture? Does he just come in one day and go, right, troops?
They just seem to do it over time, you know. They just. Aye. The players that they like, they'll try say to them, listen, because Richard Dunn at the time, like, never was kind of in and out with Keegan's, and he used to play with us in the reserves, and Dunny was the best player at the club, I thought, at the time. Mm-hmm. But then he got rid of people that probably were bad for Dunny at the time, and then Dunny got like 5 or 6 player of the years in a row at Man City.
Wow. Because Fergie did that at Manchester United when he arrived. He looked at the boozers and said, right, I can get rid of them, but the biggest boozer of the lot I need, and that was Brian Robson.
Yeah.
So that's how the good managers do it.
Yeah.
And then they surround them with angels like yourself.
Yeah.
You know? But you see, I remember reading the stories about Brian Clough, how every Friday night before the games on a Saturday, he would get all the boys run 16 half pints at the hotel the night before the game. There you go, have your whack, set with you for the next day's game. Does that ever appear at all now in football?
No.
Like, I
know the lads are, there's a few lads that I know are Bolton Albion, and I think they trained on Christmas Day, and they had to have a shot of whiskey before they went out to training for Christmas Day, I think it was, and they had a game Boxing Day, but that's the only time I've ever heard of it.
Bertie Vogts did it. He brought out, they all had a pint before the game. The night before the game. Whereas those of us watching it or covering it required drinking to watch the games. Yeah, that's the last time I've heard that.
Like, that Adam Rowney used to have a strange, like, we were at Aberdeen, they used to give him, like, Baileys before it. So the night before a game, I think it was the physio used to bring up a Baileys to him. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Baileys and Terry's chocolate orange the night before a game. Oh. Strange, like.
A dream double.
Yeah.
Didn't Lorenzo Amoruso get hooked on Bailey's Irish Cream when he was at Rangers.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah, he was knocking back tons of the stuff.
What, at half time and stuff like that? Or?
During injuries. Now, listen, who's the best player you played with in your career? You mentioned Nicholas and Elka.
It'll probably be him.
Who was no dud.
Yeah, he was probably the best player in my life. Like, if he actually fancied it, he could have been up there with the world's best at the time.
Yeah, that's interesting you say if he fancied it. Mm-hmm. He always looked to me like a guy.
People say
he didn't bother his arse, but I'm aware of the fact that looks can be deceptive. Yeah. You know,
I actually got on really well with him. He was really good to me and another friend of mine, Paddy McCarthy. We were only kids at the time coming through our city, and he always come over, have a bit of banter. He thought we were quite funny. Probably thought we were shit, but he was. He always had a lot of time for the kids. To be fair,
well, that's good.
And when he in training. He was unbelievable at times, like, unbelievable. And I always remember his last day as well. When he wanted to go, we made sure he went, like, because we'd done it like a 3v3, 4v4 possession game, and then we went into small-sided games, and we went into a 3v3. It was me, mate, and an Elka on the same team, and he just never really bothered his ass, and Kevin Keegan went absolutely mental, and next day he signed for Fenerbahce, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
It was as quick as that, yeah.
Wow. Now, what was Kevin Keegan like? I've met him, and he's a really charming guy. But there's always that wee thought that he might not be everyone's cup of tea.
Do you know what? He was good to me as a kid. He gave me my debut. He actually pulled me in on a Monday, and he told me he was going to get the club to sort out flights for my mum and dad, and he brought them over on the Monday, and they put them in a hotel, and straight after the game, he went to meet me mum and dad. He had a lot of time for people, I thought. He was a people's person. Yeah. For me, he was infectious. He was good on the training pitch. He didn't do much tactic stuff, but it was all like small-sided games, a lot of shooting drills, and he just had plenty of enthusiasm for me on the training pitch, and I always quite liked him, you know.
Was there a manager in your career that you just weren't having?
Yeah.
Kills. Don't be fair.
There's a wee grin there.
Don't be fair.
There's a wee grin
like
there.
I just thought, like, for me, you should be honest. For players, just be honest with players. And I never thought Tony Mowbray was honest with me.
Really? When you were at Celtic?
Yeah.
Right.
Because I was going back to Dundee United again for probably the fifth time when I was at Celtic after 6 months, and we'd agreed everything. I was going back, and I came on against Arsenal in the Champions League and done okay. And then he said at the time that I couldn't. He said at the time I could go alone, but then after that game, he said I wasn't allowed to go alone. But nothing had really changed, you know what I mean? If a manager fancies you, they fancy you. If they don't, they don't.
So then that's interesting then. So you had that feeling with Mowbray. You go to Middlesbrough at a point in your career and Strachan's the manager. Then Mowbray ends up the manager.
I know.
How were you feeling then?
Had you improved between leaving Celtic under Mowbray and the time when Mowbray arrived at Middlesbrough?
No, I hadn't improved because I went to Middlesbrough and played the first 8 games and was doing quite well at the time, and then I done my knee. Yeah. And then I came back the following pre-season and done my other knee. So I definitely didn't improve because I was out of football for seven, 8 months. So Mowbray came in and he said, listen, I know you started really well at Middlesbrough, but we're going to give you a fair crack at the whip when you come back fit. Liars. But he just brought me on as a striker and stuff, and he just didn't fancy me. Like, it's no problem. Like, you know, I mean, I'd rather a manager come into you and say, listen, I don't fancy you. I think you're shit or whatever. Just be blunt and be honest with players.
I remember when Mulga was the manager of Celtic, Andy Walker and I met him in the dugout at St Johnson. I remember it was over yesterday. And Andy said, how are you getting on? And they'd played together. And Tony had lived next to me in Edinburgh when he was at Hibs, so I kind of got to know him a wee bit. He was quite a closed off kind of guy. And he said, oh, I'm not enjoying it at all. I'm not enjoying my manager of Celtic. And Andy laughed, said, hey, seriously. He went, no, I'm not enjoying the job. Did that come across to the players that he didn't like it? I mean, that was very early on, he decided.
I could tell after probably 2 months or something that he wishes he stayed in England. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't think he enjoyed Scottish football. But that was strange because he had played up here, so he knew.
He's adored by the Celtic fans. Yeah. He invented the huddle at Celtic.
Is that right? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Great, no, that would not.
Really nice man.
Yeah, but you could sense that after being up here for 2 months, I didn't think he overly respected the Scottish game at the time because we played a cup game and we played those that hadn't been playing. It was me, Paddy McCourt and a few others, and we beat them 5-0. And he says, oh, these are shit. If these were down in England and they were playing against Plymouth would beat them 10-0, whatever it was. And then they put out his proper team a month or two later and we got beat by Falkirk. You know what I mean?
So you don't feel that he was out of his depth at Celtic, you just feel that...
He definitely wasn't out of his depth because he was good on the game and stuff like that. I just didn't think he overly enjoyed Scottish football. I think he just preferred English football.
From what you heard, did the players put the tools away on Tony?
I just think any manager that gets sacked, like, players just lose confidence and stuff like that, and they don't really believe in the manager. I don't think they down tools. It's not an intentional thing. It's like any manager that gets sacked. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think players do it intentionally when a manager gets sacked. They just start getting pissed off with the training, or they get pissed off with the way he does things and stuff like that. It's just that's what they do, and they just feel like you look at the team and they look as if they've lost energy. Whereas a new manager comes in a week later, they look like a totally different team altogether.
Was there any players in that Celtic dressing room that kind of was like, they wanted to stand up to Mowbray and say, this isn't working out, come on.
I'm sure
you need to get a grip here, Mowbray. Was there anybody that...
I'm sure that would have been, like, because I wasn't playing, I was just like, fucking get me out of here, if I'm being honest.
Frustrated. You know what
I mean? Yeah, so whereas I'm sure there would have been people like people that had a bit about them, like Gary Caldwell and Barry Robson and Stephen McManus and Scotty McDonald, like, you know what I mean, but... He probably would have told Scotty McDonald to shut up, you know what I mean? Scotty loves a moan. But I'm sure he would have spoke, you know what I mean? Because he kept people close to him, a few people close to him.
Tell me about the manager who has been the most important in your career.
There's probably a couple along the way, you know. Obviously, Kevin Keegan, because he gives you a chance in football, you'll always, without him, you probably wouldn't be where you are.
Decent.
Mm-hmm. And then you get someone like Craig Levein, who probably, my career, like I left Man City, I went to Cardiff and I was kind of in and out and I wasn't really playing. And then Craig Levein brought me and then I got my career back on track again. And then I just enjoyed, that was the first time in my career that I'd actually played football, like, you know what I mean, at 21, 22. So I say that to kids nowadays, until you actually play first team football, you don't know how good they are. So the quicker they get forced in football, the better. So and he was a massive influence. Then playing, obviously, under Strachan, who I had a lot of time for. Like, on the training pitch, he's the best I've seen.
Really? Would he get right involved?
Yeah, proper enthusiastic. Would always try and make the individual better within the session. Aye. All he wanted to do was... All he wanted, players who cared and wanted to be better. That's all he wanted, and then he could work with them.
Aye. A good manager.
Yeah.
Aye.
I had a lot of time for him, and then, obviously, I came back to Dundee United under Peter Ewson, who I had a lot of time for. And then, obviously... three good years on that Dell, like at Aberdeen, and Dell's a top manager for me.
What are Derek McInnes' strengths? Is he a,
he's a great
coach
or
a man manager or both?
He lets Doc take most of the stuff, but when it comes to team shape, Dell will take it. And then his man management for me is the best. And really? One thing he always does is make sure everything's done for his players. He always wants the best for his players. So one thing what he'll always do is when they go on that train, when they go onto that pitch on a Saturday, there's no excuses. You know, he's gave you every little detail that you need. He spoke to who he needs to speak to, and then on a Saturday, it's up to the players to go and do the business.
Were you surprised that he turned in the Rangers job? Were you laughing at?
Always back to the Rangers.
Because this is interesting here, because, you know, people will say, you know, well, obviously you read stuff, you know, that, you know, he bottled it, he didn't want to do it. But then if you're sitting there telling me that he was such a good coach, he was a great man manager, he knew what he wanted for his players, then why does somebody like him turn down a job like that, especially a club that he grew up supporting?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that was just, see at Aberdeen, like whatever happened in Aberdeen, he, like whatever coming and goings, whether it be players in and out, players, maybe the budget wasn't right, whatever it was.
That's
it just,
what I think it's called. Do you think, David?
It just came, unless it was 100% right for him, he ain't going to make the same mistake that he made at Bristol City. Mm-hmm. So he had a secure job at Aberdeen, so he ain't going to leave a secure job where he's been successful to go into the goldfish bowl of the
in
old
last
firm.
6 months.
If he doesn't get the backing he deserves.
He's got that relationship with Aberdeen now. He's cemented his place, I feel.
Yeah, Russell Anderson said to me, he said he's bomb-proof after the League
bomb-proof.
Cup. Bomb-proof. What was the League Cup? What was it like winning a trophy with Aberdeen? Because, I mean, that was
you didn't realise how big it was, to be fair. You know, because we were second in the league. We were in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup. Realistically, we should have finished second in the league and could have done the double if we had got... The squad was a bit... For me, it was... Numbers-wise, we'd about 14, 15 players that we'd really rely on.
Yeah,
we were short of numbers. But then the cup final, like, it was a strange atmosphere. We'd 45,000.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Celtic Park.
Yeah. Like, for me, it's much better cup finals, whether you played in Ibrox, Celtic Park, rather than Hampden. For me, the atmosphere at Hampden's nowhere near as good as...
There's so many players say that, don't you, David?
Do you know what, though?
You love Hampden, don't you?
I love Hampden.
Do you?
And... Atmosphere is about people.
Yeah.
You know, you know, they make a noise, you don't.
Aye. But I remember the cup final we had with Dundee United when we got robbed against Rangers. Remember in the League Cup final?
Yeah.
Was that 2-1, Boydie? Was that right?
Yeah, 2-1, yeah, and then you beat us on pens.
Yes, that was a great day.
Yeah, but do you remember what?
Like, try and be at least a little bit.
The atmosphere that day I thought was decent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but exactly. I think that the big thing for that for Dundee United was obviously Eddie Thompson and stuff like that, you know.
That was year, wasn't it? Aye, because it was only a matter of days, wasn't it?
Yeah, he just went not long after that cup final and stuff.
I remember meeting him that day and I almost didn't recognise him because of the
effects.
No wonder.
Tell me about the League Cup final, Aberdeen and Inverness.
Shit game, wasn't it?
Aye, I was trying to think of a euphemistic way of saying that.
I think I watched it.
Do you know who I was sitting next to in the crowd that day?
Tell us.
One of your players now is an agent. You're an agent now, Peter Pollitt. Right. If he had played, I think it would have been a different game.
If him and Johnny Hayes comes off after...
Oh, a couple of minutes?
Yeah. If we had them two in our team, like, that's what I'm saying. We were short the numbers, really, that Aberdeen team. And our whole thing back in them was... Pete in the 10, Niall off the right, Johnny off the left. We've plenty of pace, you know, we've plenty of creativity, and we took two out, like, you know, when it was hard to replace them.
Yeah.
So we just, you know what, we won on the day, we were shit. It was a shit game. But no one cares, like, no one remembers the game, you know what I mean?
See, can I ask you something, right? I know you probably get asked this, and every Old Firm player will get asked it, but the atmosphere in Old Firm, can you explain it? I know it's the most generic question to ask an Old Firm player, but we all like to know. Everybody's got their different takes on it.
Well, this man made his debut in the Old Firm
game.
That's right, you made your debut. Did you play for the start?
Yeah, Scott McDonald missed a header from 2 yards out, do you remember?
Wait, I'm trying to remember.
It was a shit game.
What game was it? Nalol.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Did you shit yourself? Be honest.
To be fair, I never knew I was playing, to be fair. So what happened was Barry Robson was supposed to play, and then Robbo was struggling with his groin at the time, and Strachan, the day of the game, I went down for breakfast, and Strachan pulled me and just said, listen, Willow, you're going to play.
Shit yourself.
You get nervous, like, right. I mean, but because he's told you in the morning of the game, it would have been an early kickoff, so you don't really have that much time to think about it.
That's what always gets to me as well, David, when you think of Old Firm games. They're played at that time of day. It must be a weird, you know, because obviously it's a Saturday night, the night before. You must struggle to get to sleep because it's a big game, and then you're up at the crack of farts.
Yeah. You're going some straight. Lads are okay. Like, some lads fucking don't even care. They'll just go out. I was one of these, whether it was a pre-season game or it was the biggest game, I'd have two or three shits before a game. It was just some people react different to games, you know.
You say you're good free shits.
Yeah,
that's funny because
that's,
you know,
a good stat.
That is good to know, because I mean, like, when I was filming Two Doors Down, right, I needed a good hour before I went on set,
yeah,
to get my shites in, because I need a good 45 to an hour to get everything ready for the day. You the same?
Yeah.
Aye.
But I think that was just nerves for me. It wasn't nerves for you, was it?
No, mine's just probably the macaroni pies for the night before, but aye.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I didn't get this with Neil McCann, Willow.
Yeah.
Willow, would you ever like to get into presenting and doing a wee bit of the media?
They wouldn't understand me. I couldn't do it.
You've not got into management, you've gone down the agency
route. Yeah, like,
why is that?
Probably just because when I went over to Bali and the thing went tits up over there, I just came back, and because I was coaching at Dundee United for about 2 years while I was playing there. I was coaching in the academy for about 2 years and I enjoyed it. And then just you come back and you think, right, what do I need? I need to do something. You need to get out of the house, you know. So I was either, do I wait for a coaching job to come up in the academy again, or do I go into the agency game? And I was always quite close with my old agent and stuff like that. So I've decided to go down the agency route and try help young lads, like, you know, try nurture them. And
who have you got in your stable?
I've got a few, to be fair. I've got a few, Graham Shinney, obviously, at Derby. And
But see, Willow, let me ask you this. This is an interesting thing, I would suggest. What does an agent do Monday to Friday? You say you want to get out of the house. What are you doing?
You're
taking your laptop down to Costa.
No.
Send emails. They count their money, Grado.
Aye, that and all.
I don't have any of that.
But what do you
basically,
say
basically, you're on the phone all the time, constantly. You're speaking to people. You're going to games all the time. It depends what type of agent you are. Like, I'm only starting out, so yesterday I was at Croatia, Iceland, and then I went to Scotland after that. And then in between that, I went to the reserve game between Hearts and Hibs.
And what's that? Are you doing? You looking after your players?
I'm just sometimes you're just watching games to see if you can pick up a player, or, you know, someone that you think has got a chance.
And what do you get any complaints for football players? Like, right, you know, I need to phone my agent. What's a kind of typical phone call for a player saying, I'm not happy with this? Is it something to do with?
Yeah, if a boy is not playing, he won't be happy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So then he'll ask you, what do you think? Do you think I should go and see the manager? And I'm like, listen, it's a bit early for that. If you've been out of team for if you've been coming back from injury, you'll be pissed off. Sometimes you need to just tell them, listen, sometimes you need to go in and just speak to the manager yourself.
Aye. What do you make of agents in the game that have no football background? And they come in and...
I find that strange, if I'm being honest. They'll obviously help with the negotiation part, but really, the player is doing the business, so the negotiation part is probably the easy bit, if I'm being honest. The hard bit is actually getting them there, getting them, especially with young lads, you want to get them to the right pathway that they can go and be like millionaires, you know what I mean? You want them to go and get to that, where they go and play games. Like, people like John McGinn and Kenny McLean have done the groundwork at a young age, and there wouldn't have been much money in them kids at that stage, but because they played and they learned their trade in Scotland, then they go to England and they earn the serious money.
So as an agent, are you out there trying to find the next John McGinn? So you think...
Yeah, you're obviously...
You want to find a player where you go, right, fuck's sake, man. Yeah. Maybe get a good turn here. Get
you want
down
someone
south,
that you think that...
You can buy another house.
Yeah, you want someone that you see a 15, 16-year-old, you think, you know what, he's got a chance long-term, he's got good ability, he's got the right attitude, he's at a right club where he's going to get a chance. But then sometimes you want them to stay at a certain club, and sometimes the kid and the parent might want them to go to England at a young age.
We need to talk about that. I think you could still be playing.
I know.
That's looking at you.
People say that. I probably could still play, but you know what, I just think...
So why did you chuck it?
I chucked it basically because when the Bali thing went tits up, I came back and I had probably lost me fucking hunger, if I'm being honest, because see, when I went back to Dundee United from Aberdeen, it wasn't the same club that I was used to when I was there before.
Yeah.
And I think the whole pressure of trying to get us back up, and it just fucking drained me, if I'm being honest. And on that Shabba Laszlo, like, I didn't enjoy it at all. Like,
is he a nice guy?
Nice fella, but just fucking...
Clueless?
Just drained me. I'm being honest, like, just drained.
Was his bonkers as
well, some has of his meetings were alleged. Mental, like, yeah.
His
meetings. He'd have a meeting every day before training.
His fucking meals, I'm going,
His meetings were fucking mental, like, you know what I mean? Absolute mental, but, like, he would...
But did he just go on and on?
Just went on, like, so the meeting, we'd have a meeting before training, it could be 10, 15 minutes, or it could be 60 minutes, 70 minutes, he just fucking didn't know.
Almost as long as the game itself.
Yeah.
So and at what point do footballers tune out of meetings?
Oh, I can see lads, like, we had a talented boy in the team, a boy called Scott Fraser at the time. So then Scott Fraser, if he doesn't, you give him 10 seconds and that's it, he switches off, and I'd be looking over at him and he'd be like, I'm like, fucking hell, like, they just switch off. Like, I mean, sometimes people can talk too much. Like, I remember when I was at City as a kid, we had a decent academy, we had about 20-odd boys played in the first team, and I never remember getting overcoached. Whereas I go and watch some of the coaches nowadays, I'm thinking, fuck me, will you just let the session go? Like, it's not about you.
Aye. So tell us what happened with that whole situation with Ballard and Felman.
Basically, like, I was in at Dunfermline, I trained a couple of days, and I got a Dutch agent ring me and said, we've got an offer in Bali. Well, it was good money and it was good lifestyle, and it was just something that I fancied, if I'm being honest. And then I was embarrassed, obviously, going into Alan Johnson, the Dunfermline manager, who was actually really good to me. I actually enjoyed his training for the first fucking...
3 years.
Yeah, because I was with Shabba, and I didn't enjoy Shabba's training, so I went back and thought, fucking hell, this is decent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the offer from Bali, and it was just too good an opportunity to turn down at my age. It was just something totally different. And
out the blue as well.
A good lifestyle, and you know what I mean? So I just basically went into him and said, listen, Gaffer, we had a clause in my contract that if something foreign came up that I could go, and something came up, so I just went into him and said, listen, it's an opportunity for me, I can't turn it down at my age. And he's like, fucking hell, Will, you're killing me, like, you know what I mean?
Aye.
Because I had agreed a deal early, and I felt like a bit of a dick, if I'm being honest, but
business,
it was just something that I fancied, you know what I mean? And then I was over there 3 days, crashed the scooter twice, nearly killed myself. Dummy medical, passed that, was fine. Trained with the team twice. And then the agent that brought me over there just says, oh, I've got some bad news. And I said, because the missus and the little fella had come over for 3 weeks. They just arrived. And I said, what's up? And he just says, oh, the contract's void. And I said, what the fuck? And he goes, basically that you had to come from the Scottish Premiership to sign for Bali.
That's insane. So then you're then left without a club.
Yeah.
How did you feel when you heard that news at first? What was your gut reaction?
Aye.
I just thought, you know, to be fair, I thought, you know what, the Dunfermline fans would be thinking, that fucking shows you cunt, because...
Aye. That's what you get.
Yeah.
Those are the exact words that they would have said.
Exactly.
Go to your face, though, but...
Looking back on it, what was it that Bally offered you that... Dunfermline didn't.
Just a. Just totally like.
Sun!
Lifestyle and culture, and it was totally like you're trying at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and.
What was the scoff like?
Food was nice, place was nice, beaches were nice, everything was nice, you know?
Did you feel. I mean, you've been caught. They've pulled your pants down on that one, to use a football expression. How did you feel then when you left it for the last time, heading, you know, how long's the journey to Bali?
It takes about 12 hours or something, 14
did
hours.
Did you fly first class?
No, they flew me first class over and fucking...
on him in the bag, middle seat.
Yeah. You were the chickens?
Yeah.
Oh, really? So, was that as low as you felt?
Well, I didn't really feel low. Like, you know, I'm sure there's fucking people. And like, my thing was, everything happens for a reason. It was just wasn't meant to be, you know, so.
Yeah. Gosh.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't as if you're fucking scraping for your last dollar. So it didn't. There's people in worse off situations than me, you know. And I always thought to myself, you know what? You've got football a good crack, but like, you've been at it since you were 15 year old. So what will be, like.
Aye.
And I played for fucking a club that I supported, at Celtic. I played in the Premier League. I played in the Scottish Premier League. So I'd achieved more than I ever thought I would.
I thought you should have played for Ireland.
Yeah, so do I.
I thought you did. I thought you did.
I thought I should have got at least a cap. Like, obviously, when I was doing well at Man City at the time, and I was doing well at Dundee United at the time before I got the move to Celtic, then there was talk of it, and it just never happened, you know.
Who was to blame?
Brian Kerr was the manager at the time, so he was to blame. He fucking gave some shy players caps, but he never gave me a cap.
What was it like to play for your boyhood heroes?
Do you know what? It was an unbelievable achievement because I thought, you know what, I've got there, but then I never really felt I got there because I never played as much. So then I actually realised, I actually probably wish I never went there, if you know what I mean,
really?
Because I'd never played.
Aye.
Football, I ain't happy. To be fair, some footballers are happy, but I was never happy until I played games. So you never really felt part of it until you played games. And even though I was there and I played a little bit, I never really felt part of it.
Aye. What was that Celtic dressing room like at the time? You've got big characters like the Holy Goalie, Arthur Boric.
Yeah, there was plenty of talent. There was McGeady, Scott McDonald, Sean Maloney, Nakamura. Like, there was plenty of boys.
Plenty of winners in that squad, weren't there?
Yeah, obviously, we didn't win the league that year, but I think that was the last time Rangers won the league, was it?
2011.
2011.
It was 2011, all was right,
calm down. Yeah, like, obviously, it was some big characters, big players, but I just never really felt part of it because I never played as much. And
aye.
I wish, if I could turn back time, I probably should have just stayed at Dundee United.
Really?
Because the money...
The pressure's really high at Celtic. Did that sometimes reflect...
The pressure didn't bother me because I never...
Blow-ups in the dressing room or in the training ground?
Yeah, we had a few little, like obviously McGeady and Arthur had a bit of a fallout and stuff like that, but there wasn't...
Were they rolling about the flair?
No. They were rolling about in the shower, yeah, but...
Were they really?
Trying to fight each other.
Were they bossing on it?
Yeah. Yeah. But...
Have you ever that happens that before?
No. That happens at every club.
Aye. Fucking swinging punches with your tootle and your flip-flops.
Yeah, there's an egg.
Aye, I can imagine it.
Not with the balls hanging out, like, you know.
It's a bit rich coming from a wrestler who wins his money in trunks. Listen, going to Aberdeen, it's a big game this weekend, of course, two of your ex-clubs going head-to-head. Did Johnny Hayes give Aberdeen the X Factor when you were there?
Yeah, like, we had a few at the time. Like, Pete Pollard was on fire that year. Like, Pete got Player of the Year that year. And then we had Niall, who was flying. Do you know what we did? And Adam, to be fair. Adam was one of them that if he got the ball in the box, he scored.
Aye.
Don't ask him to start controlling the back to goal and start linking the game. But if you get the ball in the box, he guarantees you goals. And Johnny was a big part of our team. But we'd Ryan Jack in the team. You know, we'd some good players.
Great player.
He's much better now. He's much better now because he's at Rangers.
There you go, Greeno.
There you go. I interviewed Ronnie Dyla recently on BT Sport.
You did not, did you?
I did.
Where is he?
He's in Norway. He's in Norway.
Did you fly to Norway to go and see him?
Yeah. I'm nice to do an interview. And Ronnie said that he thought he'd blown the league that year. Should you at Aberdeen have won the league that year?
I think we would have. I'm not sure we would have won it, but we would have put them. We would have brought them close if we had probably brought a few more players in January. I think if the thing with that people don't realise, like, Derek McInnes has a budget that you cannot compete with the old firm. So, like, the highest paid at Aberdeen is probably $3,000-$4,000 a week. Highest paid at Rangers, Celtic, $25,000-$30,000. How do you compete with that? There's a reality check that people need to realise. There's only so far you can take clubs and you can win cups, but to take them and go and win the league is Leicester done it.
But if Adam Rooney had stayed fit, would you have won the league? Because he missed the running.
Yeah, I don't know, if I'm being honest. Being honest, we were probably a little bit short at the time with squad and depth, but if we had got back in January, we might have, because I don't think the Celtic team were nowhere near what they should have been. Like, you know what I mean? They obviously weren't playing for Ronnie Doyle, and we beat them twice in a week. You know, we beat them in the Scottish Cup, and then we beat them in the league. That was under Lenny the year before. So we could beat them in a one-off game, but whether we could beat them over the season, I'm not so sure.
Well, Willow, it has been such a pleasure to have you in the studio. It's been a fascinating interview. Good to get an insight for a football agent, somebody that's played down south, up here. I'd like to thank you to come on. Just one more question. Who's the hardest cunt you've played with? Who's the player that you wouldn't want to roll about in a scud and the showers with?
Probably Richard Dunn. He'd fucking... Oh. The Honey Monster would kill me, I think, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He was quiet, but fuck me, I wouldn't fancy tackling him, like.
Quiet assassin?
Yeah.
Aye.
Oh, they're the worst.
There you go. It's a bit like you, David. I can imagine you being a bit like that.
Yeah, I'm a sort of, yeah.
No, I can imagine it. I can imagine somebody in a night
talk the shit out of you.
No, I can imagine somebody coming up to you acting wide, slagging you about something and you fucking sticking it on them.
I'd have to stand in a chair first, Willow.
Yeah.
Willow, it's been great seeing you. Always good company, and I'm glad to hear the agency business is going well. Best of luck with that. I wonder if you can get his Graham Shinney on the phone. Just
I get Shinney on the phone. Go get him on. I want to ask if he's coming. Come on.
He's got a big game tonight. We can't.
Sure.
Tap him up.
Get him a good deal. Get him a good deal back to Ibrox, right?
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you.
I think that might have been illegal tapping.
Right, it's now time for our Beer 52 match of the week. Congratulations to Dundee United supporter. He'll be a fan of Willow Flood, no doubt. Kenny Thompson, who correctly guessed the 1-1 result in the Hearts and Rangers match to win a case of beer. So this week, our Beer 52 match of the week is...
Aberdeen v Celtic. So all you have to do to win is guess the correct score before midday on Sunday. Everyone who gets the score right will go into the draw to win the beer. And you can enter by commenting on the link on the Football Daft Facebook page or tweet your score to @footballdaft with the hashtag #FreeBeer.
Winners must be 18 or over and stay in the UK. Aberdeen and Celtic, my prediction this week, I think Celtic will probably come out winners on this game, so I'm going to say that Celtic win. I'm going to go for 3-1.
You can't have that.
Why is that?
Because that's my prediction too.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Well, we've both got 3-1. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'll say 4-0 Celtic then.
4-0 Celtic, 3-1.
So remember, all you've got to do is go to beer52.com/daft and we can sort out 8 beers if you cover just £4.95 for the postage. And as an added bonus for Football Daft punters, you can get 2 extra free beers. And that, Grado, is a total of how many?
Oh, that's 10 free beers in total. And your first box will be sent to you next day and will contain beer for all over Europe. And I must add, I'm sipping through my beers for all over Europe every night I get in the house, watch a wee bit of the wrestling, watch the highlights, and I tell you what, there is some phenomenal beers, and amongst that, Beer 52 package that you get.
It's a monthly subscription service for the beer, and Beer 52 don't hold you to ransom, so you can leave anytime. So, just go to beer52.com/daft to get your first free case of 10 beers.
And that is that. And David, how have you felt? This is the end of your first show with Football Daft. It might not be your last. How do you feel it went?
I quite like the guest hosting different thing.
It's different
I've
for you, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely enjoyed it. For you. Have you enjoyed having me?
I must admit, it was a bit nerve-wracking because, you know, you've got your... You were the guy for years and years and years. Now you've resorted to sitting in a studio that says bacon with a washed-up professional wrestler.
Manky strips.
David, you've been football.
You've been... Daft.
It's your show! Remember that?
No.
This is 4 Network.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. SI.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.